Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. And welcome to Hallis Intrigue, the Chicago Sun-Times Bears podcast, where Jason, you and I are in the press box at Lambeau Field. Coming up in this episode, we will talk about the Bears' defeat at the hands of the hated Packers. We'll talk about what Justin Fields did and didn't do, and most importantly, what Aaron Rodgers did to remind everybody that he owns the Bears. All of that and more on Hallis Intrigue coming right up. Jason, the more things change, the more they, stay the same. John Fox, Matt Nagy, Mark Trestman, all of them have come up here to get their whooping. And now Matt Eberflus is on that list in a game that we thought at the beginning would be pretty interesting. And it was not.
Yeah, the Bears made their case early on. I mean, they were up 7-3 and then three touchdowns by Green Bay in the second quarter. I mean, that pretty much, as far as a Bears-Packers game goes, Patrick, 24-7 at halftime, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
You're not coming back from that. In the history, I mean, that doesn't happen. We saw games go crazy all day. We saw wild games. Pat, there was a game where I think it was Arizona was down 20-0 to the Raiders in the fourth quarter or third quarter and won. And that was like the third craziest game. Wasn't even close. It wasn't even anywhere near the other ones that went wild. That's not going to happen here. That's not going to happen with this offense. It's not going to happen with Justin Fields at the place he's in right now. And the Bears really need to decide whether he'll advance past that. But, you only need one disaster quarter like that against Aaron Rodgers for it to all fall apart.
Yeah, and in that quarter, of course, the Bears went 3 and out on 3 consecutive drives. I believe their third downs were like 3rd and 10, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 19, something like that. All the Packers did was score 3 touchdowns. One right at the start of the second quarter, one with about 5 minutes to play, and the third with 30 seconds to play, and they boat raced the Bears. And the Bears are just not built to play catch-up, Jason. Justin Fields today, you want to guess how many passing yards he had?
Oh, Rodgers had 230, so I'm going to guess 130 maybe?
Nope, 70. He had 70, and if you want to take the sacks out of it, the Bears had 48 net passing yards. They've only done that 3 other times this decade, and one of them was that Browns game last year, which you just don't want to be in any sentence uttered about the 2022 Bears.
Well, Pat, you don't want – if you're these guys, if you're Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, the worst thing that could happen, like the most stinging criticism could be, oh, this looks familiar. Oh, this looks like stuff we've seen. And this did kind of look like something we've seen before. Because if you go back to their game last December up here, where Matt Nagy is talking about it's a lot of fun at halftime because he's got a 3-point lead. And then next thing you know, he's down 10 before you know it. This is a different way of getting there. I mean, this is kind of the same thing just on the defensive side where you feel like, oh, okay, they've got a handle on Rodgers. And then it all falls apart leading into halftime and then it's done. It's just done.
Yeah, and the Bears, had you been able to interview Matt Eberflus at the end of the first drive, maybe he would have admitted it that it was fun, because the Bears marched and scored to take a 7-3 lead. They did so in a very un-Bears way, which was they ran a flea flicker. David Montgomery, who we could say the only nice thing we can say tonight is that David Montgomery appeared to get his groove back. But he took a handoff, turned around, pitched it to Fields threw to Equanimeous St. Brown for 30 yards. 3 plays later, Fields dives in the end zone to take a 7-3 lead. And you're sitting there going, oh, my God, this is going to be a barn burner. And then Justin Fields threw for 40 yards the rest of the game. The offense wasn't clicking. There were penalties in a way that there weren't in week one. There were, rushes for loss that there weren't in week one. And the Bears offense is just not good enough. Well, it's not good enough, period. But if we want to be even more specific, it's not good enough to play catch up. It's not good enough to play from behind the sticks. It's sure as hell not good enough to convert on 3rd and 10 regularly. And because of that, they were punting a lot.
Pat, the Aaron Rodgers situation is still a problem. He's almost 39. He's playing without his star left tackle. He's playing with wide receivers that he's been mad at the entire time that they've been in Green Bay. And he's still a problem. But that is a consistent problem. That's a constant problem. There's only so much you can do against a great player like that. And his numbers are not, shocking today. If I read this off to you, 19 of 25, it is very efficient. 234 yards, 2 touchdowns, a 131 rating. I mean, he might have done even more than that if he had needed to. if the Bears had pushed him, if Justin Fields had tried to keep up, had made some strides in keeping up with him, maybe Aaron Rodgers throws for 400 yards because he has to. But the Packers were draining the clock with the run game and with just letting the clock go because the Bears were out of timeouts late. The offense is the huge problem. The offense is just alarming to me where, okay, you throw out last week, you throw out week one because it was just a big, rainy mess. Whatever you got to do to win that, the numbers offensively were not good. But how do you make anything of that? So, I mean, this is the real debut of the offense, week two in Green Bay. And Aaron Rodgers is maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. But this Green Bay defense is not the greatest defense of all time. This is like a league average defense, most likely.
And here's what the offense looks like right now. Only two people had more than one target today. Equanimeous St. Brown had four. David Montgomery, the running back, had two. And nobody else had more than one. Ryan Griffin. Could you pick Ryan Griffin out of a crowd? Lovely man. Very nice guy. Could you pick him out of a crowd? Probably not. He had one. Khalil Herbert had one. Darnell Mooney. Do you remember Darnell Mooney? You know how he's like the best player on this offense, Jason? He had one target or two targets, one catch, negative 4 yards. Cole Kmet had one target and 0 yards. And do you know why? Because he stone cold dropped a pass. This is not a balanced offense. This is not an offense that is putting the ball in the hands of its best pass catchers by any stretch. I mean, shoot, Equanimeous St. Brown is fourth or fifth on the pecking order probably. And, you know, Justin Fields said after the game that Luke Getsy told the Bears going in, we are going to run the ball down their throats. And, okay, that is fine. But when it's third and 19, when it's third and 15, when it's third and 10, you need to be able to complete a pass to somebody anyone has heard of. And that did not happen today.
You can't have the entire – I mean, you look at who's good on this offense in the passing game, and you say Darnell Mooney's good. Cole Kmet is maybe good. That's it.
Yeah.
So to have those two have a combined, I think, seven targets through the first 2 weeks is very problematic. And I know Cole Kmet is doing a lot of inline blocking. And there's some concern about Braxton Jones needing help. And last week there's a bunch of rain. But is it Fields or is it the receivers? And Fields throwing 11 passes in a game, and he was sacked three times. So 14 times they tried to pass, I guess. Maybe throwing a couple scrambles on there. I mean, this line does not win you games ever. 7 for 11 passing.
No, it doesn't.
That isn't ever how you compete. So the idea that we're going to run, that's fine. You can do that. But this is almost like when Matt Nagy ran the ball, what was it, six times or something like that, set the franchise record. I mean, if the problem is that they're choosing not to let him throw the ball because they're playing conservatively, that's bad. If the problem is that they can't trust him because they've seen him all offseason and they don't feel good about where he's at, they can't let him throw more than 11 times in a big game like this, that's a problem. I mean, this can't stay like this. This season is all about progress. This isn't about going to the Super Bowl. This is not progress at all.
No, and I think they came into this game going, we cannot race Aaron Rodgers to 30 points. You know, I wrote this. I'm not sure they could race Aaron Rodgers to 20 points. And because of that, by the time the second quarter was over, this game was in hand. You know, one of the benefits of running the football well is then you take your shots off play action. Then you throw screens. Then you do all these clever things that Luke Getsy was supposed to bring to the Bears. But you know what? In the fourth quarter, you know, they marched 89 yards in the fourth – or, you know, they started at the 10, at their own 10, wound up at the opposite one. They didn't complete a single pass. And that's because the Packers were thrilled to sit there and let them run the football. The benefit of running the ball is getting play action and good passing off of it. That wasn't going to happen in the fourth quarter when they were down by 14 points.
Well, you certainly saw that in the Bears first possession. You saw it work where they got David Montgomery running for four, running for 12, and then you do the flea flicker, which gets you 30 yards. I mean, that is the mix you're talking about as far as an ideal string of play calls in Luke Getsy's offense. And then they just lost that. They didn't have that anymore the rest of the game.
No, and it's too bad because I think nobody is going to look at the box score and say that the Bears defense played well, and they didn't play well. But, you know, they had some life in them, particularly in the pass rush, that I thought was encouraging. you know, I think they can bring down a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL if they rush the passer the same way they did tonight. They didn't stop the run, though. And that's, you know, if the Bears' formula is to grind you out and play, you know, all of these Matt Eberflus euphemisms of, hustle, intensity, you know, takeaways, smarts, all of that. If the Bears are going to win a game on points instead of a TKO, they can't be giving up 132 yards to Aaron Jones on 15 carries. They can't give up 61 rushing yards to A.J. Dillon on 18 carries. They can't let both of those guys be among the Packers' pass catchers. I mean, there are a lot of easy yards that the Packers got today that had nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. 38 carries for 203 yards, Jason. That's an average of 5.3. You're going to win a lot of games that way.
Well, what chance do you have when you possibly when you are playing the Packers and giving up 5.3 yards per carry?
No, none. I mean, you hope for a lightning delay is what you hope for. I mean, the Bears wound up with 6.7, but you know, we'll go do some math after the game and try and figure out how many of those came in the fourth quarter. You know, half, and you know, at that point, the game was more or less in hand. You know, Justin Fields talked after the game today about how he thought he had gotten in on the fourth and inches play in the fourth quarter. And we can talk about that here in a second. And he said, you know, that changed everything. And I'm sitting there going, no, it didn't change a damn thing. You've been down 14 the whole fourth quarter. I don't think anybody watching the game thought that the Bears were one referee's call away from having anything to do with winning this game.
Bears were about maybe 2.5 yards per rush. If I'm, am I looking at this right? They had 44 yards rushing in the first half, Pat. They were at about 4 yards per carry then.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they finished with 6.7. I do want to talk about that last drive, though, where the Bears started at the 10, got to the opposite one. On third and four, Fields ran around the right side, dove for the pylon. His knee was ruled down at the one. That leaves the Bears with fourth and goal at the 1 yard line. And they line up in shotgun. And Jason, that's one of those football things that I'd like to think I'm a pretty modern thinker. I think, believe me, I've thought a lot more about the forward pass than the Chicago Bears have, you know, over the last 10 years. But I'm fine giving the ball to Justin Fields, even though David Montgomery is having one of the better games of his life. I'm fine running a quarterback sneak. But to put him in a shotgun formation and make him run 5 yards when all he needed was one, I don't understand it, and I don't think I ever will.
This is hurting my head because this feels like a conversation we would have had when Matt Nagy was calling the plays.
Right.
I mean, that's a Nagy-ish play right there.
Right, and we asked, we asked Matt Eberflus about it after the game, and Eberflus said, you know, we practiced that play all week. We like having the extra blocker, and by taking the ball in the shotgun, then that extra blocker can go out and get in front of Fields on the run, and you know they've got numbers. And they had numbers, and it didn't matter. He got stuffed. Fields thought he stretched the ball across. I think you could look at the replay and see whatever you want to see there. But, man, just put him under center and tell him to fall forward. I mean, Fields is a big, strong dude, and I like my chances. I like my chances doing that.
And, Pat, for all their failures throughout the game on both sides of the ball, that would have made it a touchdown game with 8 minutes left.
Yeah, and then Aaron Rodgers.
That gives you a chance. That gives you a very good chance.
Yeah, very good.
You have an opportunity in front of you. Okay, down 7 with 8 minutes left. You have you have more than enough time, in theory, for the opportunity to get a stop and get the ball back and try to tie the game. That is what is at stake on that play call.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have taken a pretty extraordinary effort to get the ball back. Again, 5.3 yards per carry. Aaron Rodgers with a quarterback rating of 131.1.
You know, I agree with you.
All it takes is a tip or a dumb fumble, and the Packers had one of those tonight.
We're not talking about like cutting it to 7 and then onside kicking. Like, you had the chance with that play call, if it was successful, to be down 7 with 8 minutes left. And maybe at that point, you've got a chance to redeem this night that's gone horribly wrong.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the optimist might look at this game and go, man, they only got 70 passing yards. Aaron Rodgers, 131 passer rating, and look, you know, they're 3 inches away from being down 7 with some time, with whatever it was, 6 minutes to play or whatever. Okay. but I don't see it that way. I don't think that was a turning point. I think the game had turned a long time ago.
The interesting thing for the Bears is that they have a really long time before they face Green Bay again. I think it's early December, Pet. Mm-hmm. So a lot can change for them when you have a young team and you have a new coach. A lot can change between now and then. But, boy, a whole lot would have to change for that game at Soldier Field in December to be any different than what you saw now.
Well, and to me, here's the scary thing. You know, Aaron Rodgers was saying this week that he thinks it might take all season long for his new receivers and his rookies to kind of get on the same page with him in terms of wide receivers and pass catching. But geez, if it takes 10 weeks and they figure it out, I don't want to be playing the Packers in week 13. I mean, this is, in theory, as long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy, this is when you wanted to play them. You wanted to play them now when he had no trust in his receivers, when he had no rhythm in that offense. And I think it showed up a couple of times today where they seemed out of sync. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to figure this thing out, and that's going to be bad news for the Bears.
Yeah, his out of sync is still pretty good. You know, his B or C game is still better than a lot of people's A game. And you saw the first drive, Pet. I mean, we've heard a lot. This is where Aaron Rodgers will tell you the truth about your team.
Right.
That you may not be telling yourself, because we have heard, how much have we heard about Kyler Gordon and how amazing Kyler Gordon is. And in the first, like, kind of real game, normal game here, week two, against a very, very good quarterback, he goes at him right away. And Kyler Gordon made a play or two there or there, but Kyler Gordon had a rough time keeping up with Aaron Rodgers.
He did. They picked on him a lot. And I think other teams may borrow that. Now they won't have.
Oh, he said it tonight. He said, Kyler Gordon said tonight, I was expecting this, and then based on how this went, I'm definitely expecting it again next week. So you have, you know, in the secondary right now, if you're talking about trying to come out here against a good quarterback, and they won't see a really good quarterback for a while, for a few games here at least, but you got Jalen Johnson, and who else do you have right now? Maybe at some point you have Kyler Gordon, but right now it's just Jalen Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, and if we're looking ahead right now, I mean, they host the Texans, they go to the Giants. Those two teams are beatable. Those two's quarterbacks are really bad. Then they go to Minnesota. I think Minnesota's a very good football team. Then they play Washington, they play the Patriots. They play the Cowboys, and maybe Dak Prescott's back. Maybe he's not. I mean, there are no world beaters in front of them here. And, you know, we'll see how they do against mere mortals. But, you know, we've been talking about it all preseason that, you know, that Jalen Johnson was, you know, the one stopper they had at the cornerback position, and everybody else you're just kind of hoping for. And Jaquan Brisker may end up being a really good player. Eddie Jackson, I thought, had a really good game tonight. But that's not enough against Aaron Rodgers. That might be enough against Davis Mills. That might be enough against Daniel Jones, or it might be close. But against Aaron Rodgers, he will just go pick on the weak link. And I was as surprised as you were that he didn't decide that was Kendall Vildor, and he did decide that was Kyler Gordon.
Yeah, and again, this is a recurring problem from last year, Pat. All of those problems in coverage while getting a pretty good pass rush. I mean, that's a defensive back's best friend is a good pass rush. And you saw last year the Bears with only Jalen Johnson as a sure thing at corner and one of the best pass rushes in the league in terms of sacks and pressures, things like that, still getting just torched. I think gave up the highest passer rating in the NFL last season.
Yeah, Robert Quinn.
You're looking at that again tonight. I mean, three sacks, I think, on Rodgers, or was it two? A lot of pressure back there. Yeah, three sacks on Rodgers, a lot of pressure overall, some incompletions that I feel like were forced by the pass rush, and you still end up giving him that stat line of 131 passer rating.
Every time we come up here, Jason, Aaron Rodgers makes offense look so easy. And then we go back to Hallis Hall and to Lake Forest and then to Soldier Field, and it's so hard. And it's – The maddening thing, particularly if I was a diehard Bears fan, the maddening thing would be the names and faces are almost, interchangeable at this point.
Yeah.
The head coach, it doesn't matter who the head coach is, doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Aaron Rodgers is just, it's not that he's a little bit better than them. He is just in a different world. You know, I remember, I think it was a documentary, ESPN did a documentary. I think it was about A-Rod, or it was about Jeter. I think it was about A-Rod. But Theo Epstein talked about meeting with A-Rod when he was a free agent, knocking on his hotel room door, and he opens the door and he sees this mountain of a man who is, you know, well chiseled and, you know, impossibly handsome and impossibly talented. And he says that he doesn't think, you know, that the two of them are the same species. You know, I look at Aaron Rodgers compared to Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky and Jay Cutler and Andy Dalton and Nick Foles and Chase Daniel, and the list goes on and on and on. And Aaron Rodgers is not the same species as these guys. Aaron Rodgers is magic. And the Bears, if the Bears had 1/10 of what he provides the Packers at quarterback, their franchise would be on a completely different plane.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, there's no honor in just like waiting him out for retirement. And you don't know when that's going to be. Tom Brady's playing at 45 this year. You know, Aaron Rodgers, with all of his various medical genius, is he seems to be in pretty good shape. So you can't even assume, if you're Matt Eberflus, you can't even assume that even at Aaron Rodgers' age, you can't assume that you'll wait him out.
How many Bears coaches do you think have figured that they were going to wait out Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers is.
I bet Matt Nagy thought them it. All to the I bet you Matt Nagy thought it. Not waiting out the retirement, but waiting out the trade or something like that. I bet Matt Nagy was thinking that. Yep. All right, I'm going to get a get out of jail free card here on Aaron Rodgers. No, he's still here. And that's the thing for Eberflus and Fields and the Bears as a whole is you want to take him down while he's still something to take down.
Mm-hmm.
And not just wait around. And if you're a Bears fan, I mean, you got to be scared of whatever they'll have next. Maybe it's Jordan Love, maybe it's somebody else, but I mean,
give me anybody but him. I don't care who it is. It could be, I mean,
you're rolled right from Favre into Rodgers. It's been like 30 years of just somehow or another ending up at the same destination.
Just give me a Don Majkowski just once. One thing I want to touch on before we go, Jason, you know, Matt Eberflus really made a big deal out of the discipline that the Bears had in week 1, and they did not have it tonight. It was 7 penalties for 50 yards. Do we read anything into that? Is that just what NFL teams do? Is they sometimes, I mean, it's not an egregious number of yards, but it's a lot of flags. Does that just bring the Bears back to the mean?
It's a big problem when you say that discipline is going to be what you're all about, and you're going to have refs in all summer, and you are showing video clips, and you are all about turning this problem around. I remember at their introductory press conference, he said they were going to stop. There were going to be no more dumb penalties. Basically, they were going to eradicate that from the organization. And someone raised a hand and asked a question saying, hey, that's not really how things usually go here. Somebody's like, no, this is a place kind of known for dumb penalties.
Right.
And, you know, you see big mistakes at the wrong time. You saw a false start by the offense at a really bad time. You saw Kendall Vildor on the opening drive with a 15-yard penalty that immediately puts Green Bay at midfield. Yeah.
That was bizarre. It looked like he was sliding to get out of the way, and they flagged him with it. I'm curious whether the Bears will put in a grievance to the league this week. But, I mean, that doesn't explain it away by any stretch.
I think what you want to look at now is coming out of this game. Okay, you look at each game as kind of a chapter in a book, and chapter 1 against the 49ers was bizarre. It was just this bizarre start to the season that I don't think you can really draw conclusions from. This is a major defeat now, a major setback that means something. Now you go into these next two games of Texans and Giants, two teams that have not been very good, are probably not very good this year. Can you get yourself right? Can you fix enough things so that by the time you go to Minnesota in the 5th game, you are ready to have basically an even fight?
Yeah, we know right now that the Bears don't match up with the best in the NFL. We know that they probably don't match up with the second best in the NFL. Let's see how they do against the dregs of the NFL. And if the result the next 2 weeks is remotely as disconcerting as it is tonight, I mean, we are then going to be talking about the Bears having a chance to have one of the top draft picks in the league. You know, I think if they can split, I'm discouraged enough with what I saw tonight that if they could split the next two games, I would consider that maybe a victory for them. But then again, you know, then we'll see the Vikings and we'll find out what's real and what's not. Jason agrees with me. That'll do it for the show. Mark Potash will join us later this week. His game balls, once again, just held up. You know, there's been some shipping problems, and we'll let you know when they come in on whatever steamer boat that they're in on. Until then, you can follow Mark and Jason and myself on Twitter. You can check us out at the SunTimes website. Download the SunTimes app. It's the way I read our SunTimes stories. I think it's really good presentation and hassle-free. And as always, please like, rate, and review the podcast. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.